1 Samuel chapter 3 this morning. Miss Marley Gohagen asked me, she said, who dressed you this morning? I said, what you mean? She said, you have on way too many different colors of blue. I said, well, I wanted to see how many I could get on at one time. And the answer is at least four. Okay? But she said, well, it doesn't look very good. I said, I appreciate the encouragement. So there's the record. I do not dress to impress anyone, okay? I thought it was funny. I love it when people tell the truth. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse number 1 through 3. See, I wouldn't have got that laugh if I'd have missed church this morning. And neither would you. Praise the Lord. Y'all all right? 1 Samuel chapter 3, when you're there, say amen. I hope you brought your Bibles to church. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for being able to smile and have a good time in church. Thank you for my boys singing this morning, and Lord, what a joy that is to see. Lord, they're getting so grown up. Lord, it seems like time just flies. They were just little, singing around the piano, and Lord, barely able to say words and sing on tune, and now they can sing together and sound decent. Lord, I'm just thankful that they've grown in the Lord. I'm thankful for their mother who's taught them and put it in their minds that singing for the Lord is important. Lord, I pray, God, that'll never go away out of their minds. I thank you, Lord, for giving us a family, God, with a heritage that loves the Lord. I pray, God, that'll continue down even to their kids and their grandkids. And Lord, for generations, I pray there'll be a generations of preachers and preachers' wives come out of our family. Lord, I pray for our church. I just ask you now to be with the ones who cannot be here this morning. Lord, so many who I know no doubt would love to be, but just simply cannot be. Lord, I just ask you, Lord, to bind the devil off this place today, Lord. Open our minds and hearts this morning as we read your word. I believe you've given a message, Lord, that can help us this morning. It certainly helped me. Now, Lord, I just ask you to cleanse me of sin, empty me of self. Lord, fill me with your spirit this morning. Lord, be with the junior church over there. Lord, bless all those little kids. Lord, it's such a blessing to see our church growing in youth. Lord, we know they're the future. And Lord, I pray, God, that we do our diligence to them and train them right. Train them to love the Lord and be in the ministry. Lord, we love you and we thank you for everything. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, 1 Samuel 3, we'll just read a few verses this morning. Not very many, but these four verses that we're going to read, well, three verses that we're going to read, tell a story that is sad, a very sad story, and a sad story that is going down even through the church today. You know, a lot of people say, well, that's Old Testament, but like I said before, the whole Bible's not written to you, but it is certainly written for you, and there's some warnings this morning I want to show you in 1 Samuel chapter 3 that what happens when there is no vision? What happens to the church when there is no vision? 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1, the Bible says, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see, and ere the ark of the Lord went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep." What happens when there's no vision? In Proverbs 29:18, if you'll turn there with me briefly, hold your place there while you're going there. And excuse my voice this morning. If I'm drinking more water than normal, it's because I'm fat. Okay? You can laugh at that. It's okay. And I sweat a lot. And I need to drink water, okay? My voice is having some issues, but bear with me, okay? Brother Joe's not here to replenish me, so I got to be conservative with it. Proverbs 29:18 says, "Where there is no vision, the people," what, church? "Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. We know people all around us are dying every day. Everyone in here has a story of a loved one they've lost. I stood just this week around the bedside of a lady that is now in eternity, and we sang for a couple hours around her bed, Brother Andy and I and their family, and we sang hymns and praises unto the Lord. You say, why? Because she was saved. And she took her last breath here and saw Jesus, the author and finisher of her faith. But no doubt everyone here has had a loved one that they've lost, or maybe some of you right now have a loved one or a friend that's near death. The Bible teaches in Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Can I say this morning? Every man, woman, boy, and girl that will ever live will face the judgment of God. And can I say this? Remember, where there's no vision, the people perish. So what happens when there's no vision? Well, we know the people perish. But how do we get to a place with no vision? Go back to 1 Samuel chapter 3. In verse number 1, the Bible says, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli." Now, I'm going to do my best to relay the message that God gave to me to you, and I hope it'll help you and open your eyes as much as it has opened mine over the past few months about the importance of having a vision and what happens when you lose that vision. 1 Samuel 3:1, the Bible says, "Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli." Well, keep in mind, Samuel is growing up in the same house as the wicked priest Hophni and Phinehas. Okay, Hophni and Phinehas had disobeyed the Lord. They had made a mockery of God. And these two boys had no desire to serve the Lord and had made a mockery of everything that Eli, who used to be a good priest, he used to try to teach the people of Israel. He was a good man. He tried to raise his boys right. His boys made some bad decisions, but they had made a mockery of God's word. They had made a mockery of God's sacrifices and had made a mockery of God himself. They were very evil boys. However, Samuel still chose to minister unto the Lord. I'm here to tell you this morning, God showed me this. You are without excuse. You do not have to fall because those around you are falling. You can still do right. It is a choice. No one's making that choice for you except for you. You do not have to blend in with everyone around you. Samuel kept his relationship with God despite the situation that he was in. However, the Bible also says the word of the Lord was precious in those days. Now, this is not precious like you and I would think about. This is different, and in the context here, what it means is rare or scarce. It was precious to those who got to hear it when they did hear it. Eli had began to let things go in Israel that he should not let go. He no longer... Let me back up. The word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. This indicates that divine revelations and prophecies were infrequent and valuable due to their scarcity. The term precious emphasizes the value placed on God's messages, which were not commonly available. What was happening here is that slowly but surely the word of God was beginning to fade away from the people of Israel. And remember this, everything rises and falls on leaderships. You know what God desires is for His people to be leaders in this world. The Bible's very clear. He said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will heal their land." Hey, America is in trouble. I believe that verse is for us. It wasn't written to us. We know it was written to the Israelites. But that verse is for us. You know what's going to change America? God's people. God's people doing what? Not accepting everything that comes your way. God's people saying, "Hey, we have a standard and it's a God standard. Right is right and wrong is wrong. You do wrong, you pay the consequence." And be okay with that. Everybody all right? Slowly, the word of God was fading from Israel. Eli had let things go in his home that he should have taken care of. Hey, Daddy, I want to stop right here and talk to you for a minute. You are responsible for your home, not Mom. Everybody all right? Now, I understand Daddy may be out of the home, and Mom, listen, if there is no dad there, no present with you, you're responsible. Daddy will be held accountable for what he didn't do. But you're responsible. Listen, don't let things go in your home to please your children. There's a lot of times, look, you say, preacher, you don't know. Listen, I have 6 kids. If you think I don't know what I'm talking about here, you're insane. There are plenty of times where I could just say, you know, whatever, I don't want to deal with it. Just do whatever you're going to do. I've thought that before. But then I think about this. If I let it go this time, the next child that comes up and I try to correct for the same thing, you know what they're going to say? Remember whatever you told. Y'all know what I'm talking about here? Hey, keep the standard with every one of your children or grandchildren or nieces or nephews, whoever's under you. I'm getting to the message here slowly. Just bear with me. Eli had let things go in his home that he should have taken care of. As a result of this, the word of God had become dull and numb to him. See, Eli was the priest. He was supposed to be the leader. He was supposed to be the man giving God's word to the Israelites and to the people around him. It had no effect on him any longer. The word of God had become dead to him. Now, but keep in mind, this does not mean the word of God changed. All right? Just because Eli changed, just because Brother Drew changes, just because Brother Blake changes, just because Brother Walter changes, just because Brother Steve changes, hey, the word of God is sure. And it's going to stand. God is the same today, yesterday, and forever. We change. God does not change. And by the way, God doesn't bend to fit us. But that's not the message this morning. God's word is still quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Here's something you can rest on. The word of God will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the word of God. You say, what do you mean, preacher? I mean this. You try going a couple days without reading God's word and find out how easy it is to sin. But you dig yourself and seek God daily. It's a whole lot harder to sin when you're heeding to that Holy Ghost. You stop praying. You stop reading God's word. You'll find yourself out of church. Slowly but surely, it'll be one service at a time. Pretty soon, you'll be nowhere to be found. God's word will be preached and it'll have none effect on you. We'll be singing and most people will be smiling and you'll be sitting there with your arms crossed, my Lord, are we going to sing another verse? What's happened? Hey, it ain't God's fault. It's your spirit. You've gotten yourself in a situation where sin has came in and it has taken over yourself. It has taken over your body. It's taken over your mind, your emotion, and your will. And by the way, God still owns your spirit if you're saved. Everybody all right with that? Eternal security is still a real deal. But oh, the devil has to attack the mind. And man, when he starts sending you those thoughts, it affects the things you do. And I know you've heard it 100 times, but it's what happened here with Eli. How did he go from a good priest to having no open vision? Well, the word of God will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the word of God. What had happened here is Eli was so caught up in the sins of his home that the word of God had become of little importance to him. First this morning, because of this, the Bible says there was no open vision at the end of verse 1. Eli had lost his vision for the people of God and the things of God. And can I say, just like Eli, when the word of God becomes not important to you, you will lose your vision for God's people. You will lose your vision for the ministry that God has given you. We talked this morning in Sunday school about the motives of our ministry. And what is your motive in the ministry? Is it to just be seen, to be heard? That's a lot of people's motive, just to be heard and to be seen. And I'm not making fun of you. If that's your motive, though, that's the wrong motive. Your motive ought to be to serve God and to be able to honor God and lift Him up and point people to Jesus Christ. And how do we do that? Living like Christ ourselves. That needs to be our motive. Eli lost his vision for the things of God and the people of God. You'll lose your vision also when you get out of God's Word. You'll lose the vision that God has given you. Every single one of us, man, woman, boy, and girl, should have the same vision. Our vision should be to see as many people saved before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Like we spoke about earlier, everyone will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You know, I was talking this week, and I think it's important that God's people understand salvation. Y'all with me? I was sitting around the deathbed of a lady this week talking about salvation, and somebody brought up the baptism thing. And here's what I said. I said, if I believed that baptism saved people, Brother Vic, don't you think I'd be keeping that water changed out every single day and having people line up and I'd just dunk them? You're saved. You're going to heaven. You're going to heaven. Why'd Jesus have to die? If that's how we got saved, why did Jesus do what he did? If coming to church is how I get saved, why did Jesus have to die? Salvation is by grace through faith. That's just a step of obedience. That's not a step for salvation. That's an obedient step to show people outwardly that you're a changed individual within. But you're no more saved when you come out of that water. Folks, I'm telling you, if it was that easy, I would live here 12 hours a day with the doors open saying, come on in, get baptized so you can go to heaven. I'd do it every day. Why wouldn't I? And people would come and they'd say, whew, feels better. But no change, because that's not salvation. God's people need to understand that. Everyone will give an account. And on that day, hey, if their name is not written in the book of life, they will spend eternity in a lake of fire. We're talking about what happens when there's no vision, when the vision is lost. This is why it is so important to keep the vision that God has given us. We must get our eyes off of what man is capable of doing in our own carnal state. Hey, let me answer you, not much. We're not capable of much at all. That little boy who came to Jesus that day with his lunch could have never fed 5,000 people with what he had. Couldn't have done it. Y'all with me? Mary and Martha couldn't raise their brother from the dead. They couldn't stop him from dying. Jesus did. The people couldn't spit in the sand and reach down with his fingers and touch the blind man's eyes and make him see. But faith by a blind man did. Jesus did that. See, little is much when God is in it. Y'all with me? What we think we're capable of, listen, here's the reality. Your mind's telling you the truth. You're not capable of much. But if you'll put your faith where it belongs, in the Lord Jesus Christ, He's capable of anything. Anything that He wants to do. This is why it is important for us to keep our vision. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Don't ever lose your vision. Can I add this morning, if you've lost your vision, listen, it's not too late to change. That's the kind of God we serve. See, he's in that ministry of building back up. You know what Jesus likes to do? He likes to invest into somebody that he's going to get some return on. Y'all with me? Now, he invests in a whole lot of us that he ain't never got no return on, but he still loves you. But he really loves to invest in those people that are going to go, take what they've been given, and give it to somebody else who have a vision for what they should be doing. What else happens when we lose our vision? Well, the Bible says in verse 2, now this is where the Lord really started showing me some things. The Bible says in verse 2, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. I'm like, that sounds pretty simple, but I read it again, Brother Scott, and I thought to myself, what, God, could you show me through this verse? And I began to pray over this verse, Brother Blake, and here's how it went. I'm like, God, look, the verse is pretty simple. His eyes waxed dim, he laid down in his place, and then those two words, his place, kept coming up in my mind, Brother Whalen. I thought to myself, Lord, what are you trying to show me here? He said, just keep on praying, and I'll show you. I kept on praying, and here's what the Lord showed me. Can I say this? The Bible says, and it came to pass at this time when Eli was laid down in whose place? That's Eli's place. Here's what God was trying to show me. This morning, your place is not where God wants you to be. You say, what do you mean? Hey, I could think of a million things sometimes I'd rather do than what I do in my flesh. I've been to some places that are fun and happy, and I have no stress, no worries. And I was talking to some people a couple weeks ago. We were talking about when we went to Disney World. And how many's been to Disney World? Look, I didn't have a bad time there. Now, it was crowded, but I smiled a lot. I was happy. I didn't get stressed out until the end when I got tired. But what I'm getting at here is life is stressful. And sometimes God's going to put you in some places that are going to be a little stressful. But He's going to help you through those times. Y'all with me? That's when God becomes real to you. My place is not where God wants me to be. See, God does not want you to lay down in your place where you're comfortable soaking up your sin and your lust. That's what Eli was doing. He was throwing in the towel. His boys had now gone crazy. Eli thought, there's no hope. I've blown my shot at making this thing right. I did not discipline my boys when I should have. I should have held them accountable like I hold everybody else accountable. But I didn't, and now I'm just throwing in the towel. I'm just going to lay down and soak up my sin. Boy, that sounds familiar, don't it? God wants you to be in His place. Well, what is His place? His place is a place of service. When's the last time you served someone? His place is a place where His Word matters. I mean, His Word is the final authority. His place is a place where children matter. His place is a place where hurting mothers and fathers matter. His place is a place where hurting husbands and wives, they matter. A place where hurting family members matter. A place where unity abides. A place where the Word of God has the final authority. Can I say this morning, God's place is a place where your eyes are off of you and on Him. If all you can think about is you and your problems, I heard a preacher say it like this one time, I'll show you how spiritual you are by just reading your prayer list. Who's at the top of your prayer list? You? That shows how spiritual you are. Your problems? You think God don't know about your problems? God knew that you were going to have problems long before you ever even had that problem. His place. This is God's place. Be careful getting comfortable in your place. You may just end up like Eli and your eyes begin to wax dim and you say, why would this happen? Well, it's simple. It's simple. Because God wants you to keep your eyes on Him. He does not want you to focus on your place. He wants you to focus on His place, His vision. Your eyes belong to Him and they should be looking in His direction. Pretty soon, they were not just dim. He could not see it all. Hey, taking your eyes off God's vision and having no vision for people may just cause you to have no vision at all. And I'm not talking about physical vision. I'm talking about spiritual vision. Say, preacher, I'm already there. I can't think of the last time, preacher, that I had anguish over a lost man or woman. Preacher, I can't think of the last time that I had joy getting up and coming to church. I'm here, but I don't have any real joy. Preacher, I'm here by necessity. I'm here because this is what I was taught. Listen, God can fix that for you. Remember this, God cares more about His plan than He cares about your plan. Everybody all right? The worst thing you can ever do is make a plan. I said that a couple Sundays ago, and my goodness, did the Lord prove me right on that. Made some plans, didn't hardly get to keep any of them. His plan was for you and I to serve Him all the days of our life. Not just when we think it's convenient, but every day. Hey, if the only time you seek God is when you have a problem? Just how spiritual are you this morning? God, I want to serve you now. I know when I was doing well and my health was good, I was drinking and I was doing this and I was cussing up a storm and I was living like the devil and out in the world, and I know you wanted me to serve you then, but God, I'm sick, I got cancer, I don't know what to do. I'll serve you now! Of course you will. But what about the God on the mountain is still God in the valley? What about getting real? What about having a vision when things are good? Listen, you'll have no vision when things are bad if you can't have it when they're good. It's fixing to get better. The Lord's good, isn't He? His plan, God's plan, was to be a father like we have never known, to be close to us, and to show us His grace and mercy every single day. Hey, that's God's plan. But you know something? Here's the cool thing. He never leaves us. But oh, so often, we stray. How many's ever strayed before? Guilty. Guilty. Some of you might say, Brother Drew, I'm straying right now. Well, let me help you. Last this morning, we have no vision. The Bible says in verse number 3, and this is sad, the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord. Can I say this? Even the church suffers when there's no vision. People look at church as the building. That's far from true. This is just a building. Hey, if this thing burned down today, we'd miss the building. But we'd still have a church. Y'all with me? We might not be in the comfortable air conditioning. We may be sweating next Sunday. But we'd still have a church. We'd still have a living God who could provide to rebuild it. Everybody all right? See, we look at carnal things. The church is born again believers who have trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. The Bible says in Psalm 119, 105, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When the lamp of God goes out in the church, can I say this? The community, the town, the state, the country that was depending on that church suffers. Hey, people are depending on us this morning. I know some of you thinking, that ain't my problem. Oh, but it is. It became your problem the day you got saved. Everybody all right? It became your problem the day you got saved. Hey, there's people sitting amongst us this morning that just a few weeks ago, we knocked on their door. We said, hey, you have a church home? Mm-mm. Would you like one? Well, I've been thinking about it. Hey, they're here today. Praise the Lord. Hey, that's what it's all about. But when we have no vision, and you say, preacher, I got a vision. Prove it. Prove it. The Bible says you'll know them by their fruits. Say, preacher, I got a vision. What's your vision? I'll do it as long as it don't cost nothing. I'm all for it, as long as we can save a dollar. Man. Vision. Whose money is it anyway? Is it God's money? Some of you are like, I ain't saying that, preacher. Well, that's because your vision is dead. I'll be on board, preacher. Will you? Prove it. You know what happens? When the church suffers, the devil wins another battle. The lamp of God has gone out in the church. You know what? Well, how does this happen? Well, we stop soul winning. Stop soul winning. We agree on nothing. Disunity will cause the lamp of God to go out in a church. We don't teach the Bible. We don't show up to pray. We don't pray in our homes. When God's Word is not the final authority, the lamp will slowly but surely burn out. But can I say this morning, don't let that happen. You know what I say? I say we keep on preaching. What do you say? I say we keep on praying. I say we keep on teaching Sunday school. Keep on going door to door. Keep on knocking and visiting people in our communities. Keep on telling people about Jesus. Keep on driving the church van, Brother Walter. Brother Andy, keep on riding the church van. Hey, keep on having youth rallies. Keep on having VBS. We're going to have a VBS meeting this morning. And this one's going to be fun. It's going to be decked out in here. It's going to be awesome. It's going to look like Toy Story up in here. And why are we doing that, preacher? So that kids will come. So we can count how many we know. So that we can tell somebody else about Jesus. You know what I'm saying? That's why we're going to do it. It's going to be fun. Keep on having every opportunity possible to get people into the house of God. Keep on letting our light shine bright. Keep on trusting Jesus. Keep on meditating on God's Word day and night. Keep your vision that God has given you. Listen, say, preacher, heads bowed, eyes closed this morning. Miss Barb, if you'll come to the piano, we'll get that live stream killed.